Hello and welcome to Parental Guidance Suggested. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
You have been to the movies.
As is usually the case. That's not surprising.
Uh-huh.
Or out of the ordinary. Yeah.
And this time, three movies.
Now that is unusual.
That I have actually heard of.
I don't often do three, but my schedule was open enough that I was able to do so on this particular weekend.
Now, do you popcorn at each one?
No, I have the diabetes, and popcorn is essentially just buttered carbs, and
it's delicious.
Granted, so is cake. Cake's delicious, but also diabetes.
You got the sugar. Okay.
Yeah, I do.
I never thought about that. In my mind, you see, popcorn is a vegetable. One of the few vegetables both my children will eat.
I mean, I can diet Coke or, you know, diet Sprite, or I can diet anything like a champ. But essentially everything else I can't have. Like, they actually do have, like, meats and cheeses, but I'm like, you want me to pay $7 for that much meat and cheese? I'll just eat in 2 hours. Thank you.
And no one wastes their money on Twizzlers. Nobody. That's just...
Also sugar.
But still, it's Twizzlers.
They're not exactly carb friendly.
No, not at all. Anywho, let's start with the Addams Family.
All right. I will go ahead and say that my own personal opinion as far as the definitive version of the Addams Family is probably the Barry Sonnenfeld directed Raul Julia starring films that were released in the early to mid 90s. Loved those.
I'll get an actual date on that.
I'm aware of the existence of the television show. I didn't watch it quite as much when I was a kid. I was a fan of the Munsters. I didn't quite appreciate the Addams Family, probably because they were a bit more subtle.
91.
Okay, 91 and probably, what was the other one, 94, I'm guessing?
93 and okay. 98.
98 was the straight-to-video one that starred Tim Curry. That's not the one
count.
I'm talking about, no.
Okay, now, from my perspective, I watched Gilligan's Island, The Munsters, and The Addams Family. My favorite on Gilligan's Island was, of course, Ginger. The Munsters, I enjoyed it very much. But when it came to, if I had to choose three of those shows, well, I would have chosen Bewitched, which I didn't mean. But The Addams Family, nothing topped The Addams Family, the TV show, in my mind at all.
The thing I've always found fascinating about, and like I said, I didn't dislike the show. I just really enjoyed those films. Probably because Christopher Lloyd is in it and... he was in Back to the Future, and in my mind, especially at that period in my life, all you had to do was have a connection to Back to the Future to fascinate me. They're essentially kind of a farce on the sitcom family, and I think it's really funny that to draw attention to itself, you have a husband and a wife that are madly in love with each other. Like, that's when you have a standardized sitcom, that's what you do when you want to do the opposite of the like, that always just fascinated me about that show. Like, and one of the things, like, I love about the Addams Family is the relationship between Gomez and his wife, like Morticia.
And her dress.
The fact that they're just head over heels, and that's what's silly about it. Like,
And the Addams Family had such an impact on me because of it. We started calling my mom Mama.
Mama.
And now sometimes my children will call me Mama. Not from remembering that, but from me saying it to my mom, and then from me combing their hair over their face and putting glasses on and going, "Look, your cousin It."
Who also turns up in this movie.
So there's that. We have much love for Addams Family. We value it, you would say.
You have a multitude of incarnations of it. This particular one is animated. It's from MGM. And honest to goodness, and I'm not trying to sound too critical, it really feels like somebody watched Hotel Transylvania and decided to do a straight-to-video version of that starring the Addams Family.
And the first Hotel Transylvania, the one that was watchable?
I mean, technically, they're all watchable in that you can play them and watch them on a television set. I'm not the intended audience for those. I will say that Colton, who I took to the movies with me to see the Addams Family, enjoyed it immensely. So at the bare minimum, the intended audience for this seemed to enjoy it.
Oscar Isaac is Gomez.
Yep.
So we have our Star Wars connection.
I will go ahead and tell you, like, the cast is actually impressive.
Finn Wolfhard is Pugsley?
I would have much rather seen this as a live action.
Snoop Dogg is Cousin It? Bette Midler? What? Martin Short? Catherine O'Hara? Titus Burgess, who once replied to me on Twitter.
Funny story about Charlize Theron, who plays Morticia.
Morticia, yeah.
When I do the what celebrity do you look like and I don't put a specific gender on it, I always get Charlize Theron.
That's hilarious. which many is, times I've thought, who am I talking to?
Charlize Theron.
Yeah.
A bearded Charlize Theron.
That's exactly
that
where
was my nickname in high school. Mm-hmm. Bearded Charlize Theron.
So if you are 8 and under, you'll probably love The Addams Family.
I don't think children understand what love is at that age. I also don't think they particularly understand what's entertaining.
Or to quote my youngest child after I removed something called a telephone from her vicinity, if this is what love is, then I don't want to be loved.
That's a little dramatic.
And the Oscar goes to...
I mean, it's a great performance. I think the writing's a little cliche, but I'm not.
I wasn't expecting it.
Did she do the hand to the head?
She was already laying down with the hand to the head.
I mean, she really should have thrown some, like, Scarlett O'Hara and just be like, oh, mother, I say, the vapors have overtaken me. I will fight for Tara.
I don't want to know what love is.
I say red. I don't want to know what it is.
So, rated G, PG?
I believe it was G.
Yeah.
It's very, very standard for the glutted animation market.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I think we've even had this discussion recently. In the 90s, like, Disney pretty much ruled. Occasionally, you'd get another, like, somebody trying to, like, toss some rocks at them. Maybe they'd get one, like, hit, and then they'd bankrupt themselves because they spent too money on, you know, the next two or three movies or something. Like, even DreamWorks. Like, as much as people remember them for Shrek or the How to Train Your Dragon movies, they started doing hand-drawn animation initially, and I think they had a reasonably sized hit at A Prince of Egypt. But whenever they did Road to El Dorado, and it seems like there was another... Seven Voyages. Oh. No, that was Disney.
No.
Seven Voyages of Sinbad or something like that. Or Sinbad, the Adventure or whatever.
Sinbad, was he not on?
Not that Sinbad.
Oh.
Not
that.
No, one. Not the stand-up comedian.
Okay.
Who was not in Kazam. Not that one. I'm talking, like, I believe Brad Pitt, like, even voiced him. But, like, I think it basically shut down the hand-drawn animation division of DreamWorks. Now, granted, they went on to success with their computer animated division, mm-hmm. but when they started, I want to believe...
is this hand-drawn? Did you say that
one, no.
And I ignored it?
No. Disney doesn't even do hand-drawn movies anymore.
Well, that's because he's just a frozen head. So he's going...
How is he supposed to draw?
I know, exactly.
No, it's computer animated.
Sure, whatever. It's just there. You've seen worse.
I have. And like I said, if you're 8 and you don't really understand what entertainment is...
And you learned the days of the week. The days of the week. You'll be thrilled.
It really just feels like any goodwill that the Addams Family had built up anywhere feels like they just decided that they were going to spend it right here. And as an adult, you won't want to gouge your eyes, but... I don't feel like this is a movie that we'll need to have on our shelf, mm-hmm. like at
You've
the house.
You've not pre-ordered it.
No, no, I don't. I don't think anybody is going to pre-order it. That's my. I mean, somebody might. Like statistically, someone probably will. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel like any of like let's say Star Wars or Marvel movies, any of their records are in any danger of being broken. Besides. Worst opening for a film on opening weekend.
You're listening to Parental Guidance Suggested, brought to you by Hinson Oakley Family Dentistry. Jane Ellen talking with Adam Cravens about the many movies he has seen this week. Movie number two, the much anticipated sequel to Maleficent.
I feel like what you've said is hyperbole. I mean, I will grant, I believe the first Maleficent made somewhere around like 700 some odd million. Like, and not
really?
An exorbitant sum, but like a reasonable amount of money.
700 million not exorbitant?
Well, I'm just, I'm like, it didn't make $1 billion. Like, the movie probably cost around two. It made back its money.
2014?
Yeah.
It seems so much more recent.
But one thing I never heard anybody say was, I need to know what else happens with Maleficent. Where does that story go mm-hmm. next? Like, what about the Maleficent saga? What about it?
What about the Crow? I always like the Crow.
He is in it. Or unless you meant Brandon Lee, and we're just talking about another random. Okay, all right. Okay.
Now that would be interesting.
Yes, having Brandon Lee's Crow in mm-hmm. the Maleficent sequel. I would not have seen that coming.
No, I would be fascinated
for a multitude of reasons.
So, Maleficent, the original Maleficent made, you are correct, $758.5 million.
Which, like I said, it's not a small amount of money. It's not, you know, like the Lion King live action money. It's not Avengers Endgame money, but that's a lot of money.
However, Mistress of Evil. Does anyone say evil in it like that? Evil?
I don't believe. No, Mike Myers was not.
Okay, Mistress of Evil.
I mean, he's not doing anything these days. But he was not doing that.
Well, this one opened to $36 million, which is not so great considering it cost $185 million to make. Now, yeah. That being said, worldwide, there's a chance it's going to make up that ground, not quickly, but over 6 months worldwide. Okay, over 3 months, it might in other markets.
If I'm remembering correctly, that's about half of what the original opened
to. Yeah, pretty much.
So this film is probably going to be the last in the Maleficent series, mm-hmm. if you will.
Well, as I recall, the Maleficent film, The one boy that she trusted and loved turned out to be a total tool and cut off her wings and kept them in his castle, and that made him king or something like that. And that's why she was
evil.
Evil. And I don't remember how it ended, except she didn't have wings and the crow was there, and for some reason I liked the crow. She did not eat crow.
No.
And it wasn't Crow T. Robot, but I still liked the crow for whatever reasons. Oh, that's right. And then there was some girl she would talk to and stuff. But there wasn't this whole Disneyfication of it. But I dare say it gave way to many a Pinterest board on how to be that version of Maleficent. There are all sorts of ways you can make the Maleficent horns. Some include duct tape. And spray, black paint. You can do all sorts of things. I know that's not on your list.
No,
but
no.
Still. So the story of this picks up where?
You had Sleeping Beauty mm-hmm. Find her prince, and this is about the two of them getting married. Now, you do have a reasonable, like, if you're going to have Angelina mm-hmm. Jolie in your cast, like, you're going to have somebody that can act against her, unless you want them just wiped off the screen.
Mm-hmm.
In this one, they decided to go with Michelle Pfeiffer, who I'm going to go ahead and say is a reasonable, like, foe for her. And in this one, the king wants to bring peace to, like, the fantasy creatures and the kingdom because blah, 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 fighting. And the queen.
That was the pitch. Blah, 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 fighting. Well, and then just, we'll do this.
That's about how well developed it is in the movie as well. Listen, I was not enthusiastic. And the film was so dark, I think it changed my prescription. Like, I was just squinting the entire time. Like, normally, at least, like, those stupid pirate movies.
They're very dark.
At least, like, they had more color.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, like I said, it was just, I was like, you're Disney. Like, if Disney is known for nothing, colorful is generally an adjective that is applied to your films.
Luminaire it up a bit.
No, was not. Okay. Like, I don't know if there was a bulb messed up on the projector or if Disney was just like, yeah, she's the mistress of evil. Stuff gets dark when you're evil.
Eh, it's a bunch of unfinished, you know, drawings in the corner. So the story, so this is the story where she puts everyone to sleep, I assume.
No. No, they've taken significant liberties.
So that hasn't happened?
I think it happened. I haven't seen the first one in 5 years.
Okay, now, from what I recall, the first one.
I don't think,
one,
like, I watched it when I watched it either. I think I put it on, I was like, watch this, guys, and then I went and did something that I would enjoy.
See, that's one where, for reasons unknown to me, I purchased it on the Amazon, and I own it. Have never watched it since purchasing it. And every time I flip by it, I go, why did I buy that? But it seems to me she liked the blonde girl who was a little girl and who knew who she was, and she didn't let the blonde girl fall off a cliff or saved her or something.
You're not wrong.
Something like that. And she seemed to genuinely have feelings that were warm and good toward who I believe was Aurora, but I don't remember, but it had to have been. And maybe she was between 5 and 10. I have no idea. So now Aurora is 20-ish.
Let's say. That's reasonable.
And so she's getting married.
She's getting married, and the queen is using this to trap all of the fantasy creatures, like, within the walls so that she can kill them. Because revenge.
So Michelle Pfeiffer is like Lord Farquaad.
You're probably the only person that has ever made that comparison, but yeah, you're not incorrect about what you're saying.
All right. So I see where we're going here. So you could say that the movie is actually Maleficent, comma, Mistress of Evil, implying that Michelle Pfeiffer's queen is, in her own way, a reflection, get it? You see what I did there? A reflection of evil.
Well, I think my complaint.
And she's blonde.
And again, they already took significant liberties from the Sleeping Beauty, like, whenever they did the animated adaptation, they already significantly took it away from what the original story, like, had in it. This one really makes Maleficent more of, like, an anti-hero. Like, like she was, you know, like, this stuff happened, and I'm angry, and that's why, like, she's not the Maleficent from, like, obviously, they're two different iterations of it. But this is not the Maleficent from the Sleeping Beauty cartoon. Mm-hmm. Like, who, honestly, like,
was terrifying.
Yeah. I mean, especially when she turns into that dragon, like, I don't think Sleeping Beauty often gets enough credit for how gorgeous the animation in that film looks.
I mean, I can see that face, the way she could, like, look up and look down at the same time. Or very, like, much that, I'm ready
that,
for my close-up, Mr. DeMille.
That laugh or that music that would play behind her.
Yeah, she was scary.
Yeah, like, that film came out in what? I'm thinking 67, maybe 65, and we're still talking about it.
I thought that was much earlier.
No one is going to be talking about Maleficent, Mistress of Evil, besides the fact that it's going to lose Disney money.
Are we mixing up Sleeping Beauty and Snow White?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
You may have. Maleficent was in Sleeping Beauty. The evil queen, there was an evil queen. There's an evil queen in Rough. It's either a stepmother that is wicked,
mm-hmm.
or a okay. queen that is evil, or...
Well, Snow White came out in 37.
Right, but I'm talking about Sleeping Beauty.
But you said Snow White.
Oh, well, I meant Sleeping Beauty.
That's why I was confused.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't remember saying it.
Well, I could just, you know, play this again, but I would have to stand up to do that. Anyway, point is, which evil triumphed? Dare I say, Maleficent?
Now, in our vow to people on this podcast,
mm-hmm.
it states that we do not
we
ruin
don't give
the
spoilers.
Ending. I don't.
Does the crow live?
Maybe.
You don't remember. He just don't remember.
I fell asleep. No, I didn't fall asleep.
Can you recommend this to anyone?
The film looks very expensive, and there are very talented actors that have done better work in other movies in this movie. The sets are pretty, and whoever designed the costumes deserves a pat on the back.
Okay.
But if you're going to watch a fantasy film, I'm going to go ahead and say, sit down and watch Fellowship of the Ring. You can probably buy that thing for $1.99. Maybe $4.99 if you want it in HD,
mm-hmm.
or like that DVD is undoubtedly in the $5 bin or the $3 bin. Like, it, just go watch a different fantasy movie that isn't this movie. That's a lot better than this movie.
I see.
That's kind of the way I came away from it. There is nothing this film offers that you have not seen done better. And even the stupid Hobbit movies that I didn't like, I'd watch them over this fantasy movie.
Whoa.
Like, Battle of the Five Armies, not a good movie. Not a good movie.
Okay. Right. Riddle me this.
All right.
Between...
All right, Batman!
Between The Phantom Menace and Battle of the Five Armies, where does this fall?
Oh, wow. I need to sit back like that.
I didn't mean to knock the wind out of you.
Oh, geez, like my head hurts. do you have any pain medication? Phantom Menace had a fantastic
fight racer scene, whatever.
And
it had all the hilarious racism.
Hilarious. Oh, I don't even want to touch that.
Again.
Not
hilarious.
You can't see me doing it, but I am slowly walking out of the room backwards.
I say hilarious because I have spoken to people about the film that said, there's racism in it? Really?
And then you just bring it up on YouTube.
Did you not see the same movie I did?
At least Phantom Menace had the cool like lightsaber fight.
Uh-huh.
Battle of the Five Armies.
It had a dragon.
Wasted. Absolutely wasted. Like just copious amounts of talent.
Okay.
Like.
I didn't expect this. I thought you'd lean more toward Hobbit Nation, but...
Easily the best thing about the Hobbit movies, and I'll make this quick because we're not even talking... That's not a film we're reviewing.
But we would drop the hat.
Bilbo Baggins, like, is easily the best thing about that movie. Casting him in those movies,
mm-hmm.
like, was a stroke of genius. A lot of the surrounding garbage, that drawing a 300-page book out into, like, 12 hours worth of whatever. And I own the extended cuts of each of those movies, so go ahead, fine, I'm a hypocrite. But
I'm not going to buy Maleficent.
They literally, like, just give him nothing to do but stand around. And, like, having a talented actor in such an iconic role, that movie just made me mad the entire time I watched it.
That's hilarious. So, Maleficent will appeal to 12-year-old girls,
probably
maybe?
The girls that didn't want to see the Addams Family can watch Maleficent instead.
Okay.
I mean, parents, you're going to suffer either way, but you need to pick your poison here. Like, do you want it in the leg or do you want it in the arm?
And now we're moving on to the movie that you have been waiting for.
Yes.
You have waited for it. Zombieland first came out in...
I want to say it's 2009. It may be 2008. It's right around 10 years.
Zombieland, just a delightful romp of zombies and Twinkies and cameos and very, very just satisfying. On every level.
The cast is pretty close to pitch perfect.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't seen the first one, it has one of, and this is saying something, one of the greatest moments of Bill Murray's film career. Like, just came out, and I'm sorry if you haven't seen it, and I spoiled it for
but
you.
But it's 10 years.
But
come
it's
on.
10 years. It's 10 years at this point. Like, it's not opening weekend.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most fantastic moments in Bill Murray's film career. And like I said, if you understand the acclaim or the regard that I hold Bill Murray in, you'll understand what a statement like that mm-hmm. is for that. And it was kind of a fresh take. Like, you've got, you know, Walking Dead that deals with kind of the very serious side of zombies.
I eventually got bored with that. It was just too much leg dragging.
I stopped after season 3, but I'm just saying, like, somebody watched it.
I know.
It wasn't me.
I didn't not appreciate it.
You had Dawn of the Dead. Like,
and better than Dawn of the Dead, you had Shaun of the Dead.
Shaun of the Dead also there.
One of my favorites.
Hysterical film.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the zombie genre is... It's about where, like, animated movies are. Like, you can really get, just throw a rock and you'll hit an adaptation of some kind of zombie something.
Mm-hmm.
This one in particular still manages to distance itself and set itself out from the pack. The film is rated R, I will tell you that. It is probably not suited. Like, you might get away with, like, an older child getting to see this. But Woody Harrelson does not mind dropping an F-bomb or 7 in this movie. The humor does not – it doesn't become like gross-out humor at any point, but the jokes are definitely leaning much more toward the R than the PG-13.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse Eisenberg, who sometimes gives excellent performances and sometimes just gives the performance he did in Social Network – in another place, wearing a different costume. This is not one of those. Like, this is one of his more Social Network garnered a lot of, like, you know, nominations. Like, it was picked out, you know, to be shown, like, by the Academy and all that. But a lot of his movies, I'm just like, you're playing the same guy.
And I wonder if his sister's annoyed. She was the cute little curly haired Moppet in those Pepsi commercials. And it's like, she's going places. And then she made that Parrot movie, and then now her brother's famous.
And then her goofy, curly-haired brother.
I know. And he's the one they cast when they can't get... Who am I thinking of?
I'm not sure. Pointing at me isn't going to do it. You're not a wizard.
He was in Juno.
You are not the mistress of evil.
He was in Juno.
Michael Cera.
Yes.
Michael Cera.
If you can't get Michael Cera, you get Jesse. Am I right?
You're not wrong.
Okay.
Like, I think they are probably up for a lot of the same parts.
Yeah, I have no doubt. They do play the same guy.
Like, probably when they give descriptions in, like, for readings, they're like, this is a Michael Cera-esque character.
Yes.
Or a Jesse Eisenberg-esque character.
To be honest, I thought Michael Cera was in Zombieland, too. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's the other Michael Cera, Jesse Eisenberg. Anyway, so... All I remember from the first one is, I loved it, I need to watch it again, hilarious Twinkie jokes, and maybe it ended at an amusement park? Maybe? Is that right?
You've gotten most of them.
Yeah.
If you were doing a pop quiz, you have got at least a B+ or an A-.
A ragtag group of misfits.
If they don't do a lot of different... things here. Like, mm-hmm. if you liked the first one, this is not like the difference between Alien and Aliens, or like, you know, Terminator and Terminator 2. If you enjoyed the first movie, this, it's not a carbon copy of it. It's probably not superior to the original, but I found it to be a satisfying sequel in that I laughed a lot. I enjoyed myself. And I will say this, and I'll say no more. Stick around for the credits.
All right.
You will not be upset.
So the continuing story of Zombieland 2 is
there
are still zombies, because they never cured or stopped it.
No.
It's still an apocalyptic America.
Yes. And appropriately enough, they decide that they are going to take up residence in the White House. So you have some Taft jokes, which I wasn't expecting. I mean,
he never can.
How often do you get to see a Taft joke in a major studio like Blockbuster these days? I mean, I'm sure back when Taft was in office, they were all over the Nickelodeons and the talkies, probably.
That's great. So Taft jokes. Yeah, that does make sense. If it was apocalyptic and the White House was still standing, I would think that, or Fort Knox or something like that, that would have good fortifications.
Yeah.
Tunnels and stuff.
And, I mean, they have plenty of, you know, rations.
Yeah.
And different things like that you can use.
I can see that.
And, films like to use landmarks.
Mm-hmm.
Independence Day basically made an entire trailer out of just blowing up things that people have seen.
And then Nicolas Cage deciphered things that people had seen.
Because he was like Benjamin Franklin's
something
nephew or something. I don't remember.
And I did tell you, by the way, that one of my friends is in a movie with Nicolas Cage. Yes, I did tell you that, right?
So now you
are two away from Nicolas Cage.
I probably made myself forget that. You probably have told me that. And then I struck it.
Just want you to know.
I struck it from the record.
In the Kevin Bacon game, you're two away from Nicolas Cage, which is the Nicolas Cage game, but that would then make you three away from Kevin Bacon.
Wait, what? That's a game?
It is now.
Okay, well, two away from Cage.
For our purposes.
Cage!
They're just trying to survive, and they're hanging out in the White House, and the credits are funny.
Jesse Eisenberg and his lady love break up, because that's the problem with getting people together at the end of the first film. One of your central thrusts is gone if you want a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
So you either invent a reason why they can't be together, or you can't cast that person. In this particular case, she was available, and they break them up at the beginning of the film, because you need to get them back together hypothetically by the end of it.
Okay.
And it's the bickering between the two of them after they break up is entertaining enough that I was okay with the two of them not being together. And in a lot of cases, your shows that get romantic interests together and leave them there will often kind of kill the momentum. Lois and Clark, New Adventures of Superman, Moonlighting, Ross and Rachel on Friends. Like, all of these shows kind of lost their thrust whenever you put these people together and leave them together. Now, getting them together and then breaking them back up, you can get some tension from that. But a lot of that, once you do it, it can still be interesting, but it's less interesting by and far.
So you are entertained.
Yeah, Zombieland Double Tap is easily the best thing I saw this weekend. And it's a film that I would not – I own the first film. I would not mind owning this one.
Okay. And Woody Harrelson, I assume, gets most of the screen time, because he has really evolved into something interesting.
Honestly, I don't know if he got most of the screen time, or he just takes your attention when he does have screen. I'm really trying to break it down. I mean, he got plenty of screen time, but honestly, I think he just, when he is doing his thing, nobody else is on screen.
That's right.
Like, he lives in this part
right here.
Yeah,
he does.
Like, I mean, he owns every inch of it, and he's easily the best thing about the movie. Like, I'm not casting any kind of shade on
aspersions have been cast
On the rest of the cast, but Woody Harrelson is probably the best thing about the movie.
All right, all right, all right. So, Zombieland, a yes, and Maleficent and Addams Family, pretty much a pass.
Unless you are 8. And if you're 8, you're probably not listening to this podcast, because I don't know that a lot of 8-year-olds or any 8-year-olds listen to podcasts.
There you have it. Thank you for listening to ours. Do you know what's coming up for this week?
I'm trying to think.
You know, I think... Oh, I did just see the trailer for Downey is Doolittle.
I want to say that's like January or February.
It doesn't matter. Jenna and I are like, we are counting it down.
I'm really kind of... I don't think he's been not Iron Man since, I want to say...
Since he was not Sherlock, so...
The Judge, maybe?
It doesn't matter. I just...
2015, I want to say?
If he could just be Downey all the time.
Well, he is.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's his actual name. So, what's coming up this week? Anything?
Jay and Silent Bob reboot will be playing in some theaters. And, let's see, Current War, Countdown, Black and Blue, and The Last Full Measure.
Okay, so nothing really, except Jay and Silent Bob.
I will probably be seeing Gemini Man, it sounds like.
Oh, that's right, and you haven't seen it yet.
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. We'll have more goodies for you next week, because that's what we do. And we're also counting down to the final in the Star Wars movies of the Skywalker.
Family. Disney just, well, not recently, but paid several $1 billion for that. We're not done with Star Wars,
no,
kids.
No, not ever.
Don't let them get away with saying final anything.
Exactly.
In that. Or if they do, there better be a little asterisk beside it.
Yeah.
Well, it's the last time we're going to... Well, not say Skywalker, but I mean, like, it'll be the last time it'll be like a Skywalker movie.
Skywalker.
We're obviously going to bring up the Skywalkers
again.
Yeah,
of course we are. Many, many times. Anyway, thank you for listening. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.